Hi guys, and welcome back to Lily White Rose, the Stars of Tomorrow. Today, John Wenham here, wishing you all well and hope you're enjoying this upturn in weather. I look out my window at the moment and the rain is actually battering it down, so maybe I spoke too soon there. But anyway, I hope you're all doing well. Apologies for the slight delay with this pod. I wanted to wait for Saturday's two games, as I knew a lot of our academy players were likely to be involved in those fixtures, and they duly were. The first team travelled to Leyton Orient for the first match of the Nuno Espirito Santo era. And having seen the training photos in the week, we had an idea of who was likely to be involved. But there were still plenty of surprises in the lineup. Following academy players were selected to start the fixture. In what was possibly the biggest surprise was the inclusion of Callum Cisse. The young utility player is naturally a right-back, but I've seen him play as a central defensive midfielder on multiple occasions too. So seeing him start at left-back was a surprise, added to the fact that, to my knowledge, he's never been involved in first-team training before. He must be impressing Nuno and his coaching staff, so that's great to see. Callum did okay without being given much licence to get forward, but did his job well defensively and got a full hour on the pitch, which I'm sure will give his confidence a massive boost. He was also involved in a bit of a coming together with a Leyton Orient player, and it was great to see Eric Dyer, captain for the day, rush to his aid. On the right side of the back four was Maxim Paskotski, who continues his meteoric rise since joining from Flora last October. The 18-year-old Estonian international was naturally a centre-back, but did very well at right-back and did manage to get forward on multiple occasions. Maxim has been training with the first team since Nuno took over and will be looking to build on the first team involvement. It'll be interesting to see if he keeps his place in the first team squad for Wednesday's trip to Colchester. Cameron Carter-Vickers started the game at centre-back, which was slightly surprising with the number of links about a permanent departure from the club. The 23-year-old has reported interest from Newcastle United, Celtic and Bournemouth, with a £5 million price tag for the player, who has 12 months remaining on his Spurs contract. He generally did well, and the player and the club probably looked at the situation as an opportunity for him to build up his fitness levels, as well as giving Spurs a solid basis alongside Eric Dyer for Nuno's first game in charge. With Celtic reportedly close to selling Christian Adjia to Brentford, I wouldn't be surprised if the CCTV to Celtic news gathered some pace later this week. 18-year-old Niall John started in midfield and was probably the pick of the academy players on show. I know he's one a lot of people have been asking me about, so let's get into him. The White City-born youngster, who made his first team debut for us in the Europa League last season under Jose Mourinho, was given the chance to push forward with Winks in the 11 sitting back. John really took the opportunity and left many fans impressed with what they saw from him. He touched a Winks through ball over the defender's head and had our first meaningful effort on goal, and then unleashed another shot from distance, forcing a good save from the Orient keeper Lawrence Vigouroux, who's also ex-Tottenham Academy. It was an all-action display from John that has left fans excited to see more from the youngster. John is highly regarded by Academy staff at the club, which is backed up by the fact he has a pro contract already until 2023. John is impressed in training from what I've heard, and sounds like the club have really big plans for him this season. I've been told he will not be heading out on loan, and will instead be aiming to be involved in the Europa Conference League. Our final academy starter on the day was the man on everybody's lips after being name-checked by Jose Mourinho again earlier in the week. Mourinho said that quite possibly the 2022 World Cup will come too soon for Dane Scarlett, but he has everything to go to the very top. The 17-year-old forward was given the chance to lead the line in Nuno's first game. Now, straight away that tells you something. You know, Nuno obviously has seen Dane in training this week and last week and has taken to him, you know. So it's just the beginning for Dane. I've already talked on these shows about how highly I rate him and how highly his numbers speak for themselves. So I'm really looking forward to watching him continue to develop. In the game, he was played in via an outstanding through ball from Lucas. He took a touch and deftly finished with a left foot shot into the inside of the far corner. It was exactly what youth team watchers have come to expect from Dane. He's already got that mantra about him that when he goes for on goal, you expect only one outcome. His celebration was also totally relaxed and humbled. As I've mentioned before, Dane has a solid team of people around him, and his agents at base do a great job of keeping him grounded and hungry. I hope to see him start again at Colchester on Wednesday night, and if he does, it would be great to see him score his first goal in front of the 1,800 or so Spurs fans who are likely to be in attendance. Another point to note on Dane is that he's actually too young to head out on loan this season, so he will certainly be around the first team squad, and like Niall John, will be looking to pick up minutes in the Europa Conference League and hopefully get in some Premier League minutes as well, because his confidence is obviously sky high at the moment. He's receiving a lot of positive compliments at the moment, and he's grounded enough to deal with them and use them as a platform to take his game to the next level. At half-time at Orient, Alfie Whiteman was introduced and managed to get a full 45 minutes under his belt, replacing Joe Hart. Alfie, who counts as homegrown and club-affiliated, could possibly now head out on loan for the season with rumours that we are close to signing Pierluigi Gollini on loan. He's needed a loan for about three or four seasons, Whiteman, but I do wonder if for club registration purposes it will be better, or the club will decide it better, for Elfrid to stay around as third choice and possibly allowing Joe Hart to move on. During the game, Elfrid made one excellent save from an Orient free kick and could actually do nothing to prevent their equaliser, which was curled into the far corner. Just after the hour mark, Spurs made 10 changes and brought on effectively half of Hotspur Way. We saw the introduction of Harvey White, who'd been on loan at Portsmouth in League One last season. White brought his usual controlled style to the game, sat in the deep position Winks had previously occupied, and he gave Spurs a real base to build from in the game. Jack Clark came on and looked lively. Clark had experience at Stoke last season, and the tricky winger almost created a chance late on with some tricky footwork in the box, which eventually led to a chance being blocked. I'm sure Nuno and his staff will be taking a good look at Jack before any decision is made on his future. He has been heavily linked to a loan move to Championship side Nottingham Forest. Troy Parrott came on and leapt to lead the line, replacing Dane Scarlett, and couldn't really get involved in the game. I've seen some blaming Troy for the Orient equaliser, but for me that seems unfair. If a forward gets intercepted whilst on the edge of the opponent's box, there are still 10 other players who can do the job at stopping the transition in play from one edge of the box to the other. On this occasion, it was another sub, Toby Amole, who, in my opinion, could have done more to prevent the equaliser. The 21-year-old, signed on a free from Arsenal last summer, backed off the Orient attacker, who then curled his equaliser into the far corner past Whiteman. It was a poor defensive moment and transition from Amole, who had to commit to putting in a challenge. To provide some mitigation for Amole, he was playing at left-back when he's naturally a centre-back. I must stress some surprise that he's effectively jumped ahead of Jibril Okidina in the pecking order for the first-team squad place. Amole could be registered as one of our 8 homegrown players in the Premier League squad this year, as he's now 21, so that's something to keep an eye on, and that could allow possibly like someone like Harry Winks or Joe Hart or another one of our homegrown players to move on in the knowledge that we could register Amole and still have our full complement of 17 non-homegrown players. Much to my delight, Malachi Walcott came on after a series of long-term injuries and slotted into the centre-back role seamlessly. I love Malachi, he's a proper ball-playing centre-back, and I hope that he can use this period over pre-season to impress visiting scouts and secure a good full-season loan move for the year ahead. Started so well at Dundee last season on loan before another injury curtailed his progress. Jamie Bowden came on and partnered White in the middle of the pitch. Bowden is a player who just needs an opportunity to open up for him, and he will not let you down. He has a fantastic array of passing, which over the years in the academy has led to comparisons with Michael Carrick. Tottenham-born Republic of Ireland youth international is another who will be hoping to impress visiting scouts with his involvement in pre-season. I had the chance to interview ex-Spurs player Andy Reid whilst doing a pod on Last Word on Spurs last year, and he told me that Bowden is a player highly regarded in the Republic of Ireland youth setup, and one they are very much aware of and keep tracks on his progress. TJ Yeoma took the captain's armband from Eric Dyer when entering the pitch and played at right back. After so many appearances out on loan last season at Lincoln City, I'm sure TJ will be looking to get a start in the next game at Colchester on Wednesday and try to cement his claim to be involved in the early rounds of the Europa Conference. TJ did commit a foul pulling down an Orient player from behind, which in usual circumstances would have resulted in a yellow card. I just wish Amole would have done the same when the Orient player headed through on goal for their equaliser. Brooklyn's Lions Foster being with the first team also surprised me. When Brooklyn, commonly referred to as BLF, first came onto the scene, he was extremely highly regarded. He seemed to always have time on the ball to make the best decisions and a solid mix of pace, composure and determination. Over the last few seasons, it seems his progress has stagnated a bit, but I hope the confidence from the first team call-up can see the talented centre-back get back to those early levels. He played at left-back on Saturday, replacing Paskotski, and did manage to win a decent throw-in opportunity by using his strength to regain possession from an Orient player. The crown of our youth players at the moment for me, Alfie Devine, also came on after not appearing in any pre-season training photos so far, so it was great to see the 16-year-old back with the first team. It was a quiet first appearance by Alfie's usual high standards, but I hope we see him for a bit longer on Wednesday night. Like Dane, he's too young to head out on loans. He will certainly stay at Spurs for at least the next 2 seasons before any loan move, which I expect at that point he'll already be challenging for a place in our first team squad. The final youngster to be involved was Romain Mundell, or Romain De Bruyne, as he's known amongst teammates at Hotspur Way. The young midfielder played in a left wing role and showed some decent touches on the ball and link up play. Romain is very highly regarded, and he often links up well with Niall John in youth team games to devastating effect. I hope we can all see more of Romain over this pre-season and more people can learn just what a talent he is. Nuno actually saluted our youngsters for their role in Saturday's pre-season match at Leyton Orient when talking to Spurs TV after the game. He said, "The help of the under-23s is so important for us because they allow us to have good training sessions, to have numbers and bodies to work with and to try to mix the team that played, being a mixture of youth players that we believe can make the step up and help us. And then the rest of the group is currently with Dean Rastrick, the academy manager. It's a big help for us, especially with the players arriving from internationals and national teams and coming gradually. We need all the under-23s, and we are very thankful for it. The rest of the 23s were also in action at 3pm on Saturday, and it must be said it seems there's a real fluidity between the groups at the moment of the first team and the academy. As an example of that, we saw in the week Jubril Okudina, Janiel Bennett and Keon Atete all training with the first team, but then being selected to play in this 23s game. The 23s put 6 without reply past non-league Ramsgate for the opening of their WW Martin Community Stadium. Forward Dylan Markandy starred in the rout as he grabbed a first half hat-trick against the Irishman League South East Division side, while Janiel Bennett also scored in the opening period to give us a 4-goal advantage at the break. Academy Year 2 player Callon Haysman then came off the bench to add our 5th, just after the hour mark, before Bennett went on to fire home his 2nd and our 6th to wrap up the scoring with 13 minutes to go. We dominated proceedings from the off on the Kent coast, as Markandy had us in front with just 2 minutes on the clock. Picked out in a tight space with an incisive pass, the attacking midfielder then darted past 2 defenders before clinically picking out the corner of the goal from the edge of the area. 5 minutes later it was 2, as Keon Atete claimed the ball high up the pitch before playing in Janiel Bennett, who rifled the ball home. Despite being 2 ahead, we didn't let our pressure subside as we continued to harry our opponents. On 15 minutes, it was that commitment to the press that brought about our 3rd. Bennett won the ball back, well in midfield, before releasing Keon Atete down the right. The tall striker then picked out the run of Dylan Markandy, who coolly clipped the ball in from 8 yards out. By the break it was 4, and once more it was our high pressing which brought about the goal. A misplaced pass from an under pressure Ramsgate goalkeeper fell kindly to the feet of the lurking Markandy, who needed little invitation to complete his hat-trick as he applied a composed finish. Our 5th of the afternoon arrived on 65 minutes and perhaps was our best strike of the day. It was a well-worked move that went from defence to attack in an instant, with Markandy ultimately teeing up Callon Haysman in the box. The midfielder's first time effort was well blocked, but he made no mistake with the rebound, picking out the roof of the net. Bennett then added number 6 on 77 minutes, as he took the ball off the toes of one of the Ramsgate defenders before calmly finding the target. Wasn't all plain sailing for us though, as late on, substitute goalkeeper Timothy Lodisalata was called into action. It was a brilliant last minute save he made, down to his right, to ensure we did come away with that clean sheet. Our full squad for that fixture at Ramsgate was Josh Oluwayemi, back in goal after his recent call up to the senior Nigeria squad. Marcel Lavinia started at right back, which was quite a surprise to myself and many youth watchers, having believed that he would have been in the first team setup. As I said, the groups are very fluid at the moment. And another one who we were disappointed not to have been in the first team squad was captain for the day, Jubril Okudina, after a hugely successful first loan spell at Cambridge last season. Marcus Mayer partnered him at the back with Jordan Hackett at left back. The midfield was patrolled by the Craig brothers, Michael and Matthew. Iago Santiago Alonso played on one wing with Janiel Bennett on the other. Dylan Markandy slotted in the 10 position and Keon Atete led the line. Unfortunately for Keon, he picked up an injury after 25 minutes and did have to be subbed off injured, and he was replaced by Roshan Mafurin. The other subs on the day were Timothy Lotolata, Jeremy Kaizu, Jez Davis, Dante Casanova and Callon Haysman. Between the academy players who played this fixture and the first team at Orient, the only ones not selected from all of our academy players and the 31 players we have in the development squad were young goalkeeper Isaac Solberg, who I'm told is having extended time off following international duty in the summer, Kakber Kerlewicz, the young goalkeeper, Dennis Serkin, the highly regarded left back, Dermi Lasala, the highly regarded right back, Rafferty Pedder, Max Robson, Elliot Thorpe, Jeremy McKindy, Ronaldo Torage and Oliver Turner. The under-18s also started their pre-season preparations for a 1-0 win over Millwall. Team info for this fixture has been very limited, but I'm told that Jaden Williams, the new first-year scholar, got the assist for us in that game. With the 23s in action at Enfield Town tonight and the first team at Colchester tomorrow, I expect we'll see a lot more of our youth players on show. However, it's worth noting that with Matt Doherty, Sergio Reguilon, Serge Aurier, Japhet Tanganga, Oliver Skip, Eric Lamella, Ryan Sessegnon and Sonny now back with the first team group, we should see these guys getting some minutes too as pre-season continues, and that could also mean less minutes for our younger players. However, one player I have just mentioned, I've just seen some breaking news. Apparently Eric Lamella is close to joining Seville and has agreed a 3-year contract with them, so I expect he will no longer be involved in Tottenham pre-season games. So that's another space that could be opened up for a youth or academy player to be playing those fixtures if Eric does complete his move to Seville. Just a few other bits of youth info from the week. I'm told that Jack Rowles has joined Crystal Palace on trial following his release from Spurs. So wishing Jack the best of luck, and hopefully he can secure a permanent deal with the Eagles. Jack did feature for their under-23s last week against Colchester. And I understand they've got another fixture against Dulwich tonight. So let's see if Jack's in the lineup for that. Rumours continue to circulate that Elliot Thorpe has turned down a pro contract renewal that was offered by Spurs and has instead agreed to join Bundesliga side Hoffenheim. I noticed that he hasn't appeared in any of the training photos yet. However, I am told that he had a family bereavement last week. I understand his grandfather passed away, so sending our best wishes to the family, and that may be why he wasn't at Hotspur Way. However, rumours continue that he has agreed to join Bundesliga side Hoffenheim and completed a medical with them. I've seen many Spurs fans on social media getting upset about this, but look, the honest reality is this, and this is my opinion. Thorpe had two serious injuries while with Spurs. Spurs have stuck with the player, and now when he's grown into his body and had a solid end to the season, he's just chosen to go off and play his football elsewhere, which for me is a little bit disappointing. In my opinion, and from seeing who's been called out to play with the first team or train with the first team over the last few years, I believe it's fair to say that Thorpe would, you know, probably be behind the likes of Oliver Skipp, Harvey White, Jamie Bowden, Niall John, Alfie Devine in the pecking order. So, you know, sixth choice academy prospect to be playing. If he's been offered an opportunity elsewhere, which he believes has a more realistic pathway to get him into the first team, then good luck to him, and I hope he does very well. But let's just get one thing straight. This isn't a similar situation to losing the likes of Anoni Madueke, Omari Forson or Marcus Edwards. That's it for this week's pod. Thanks again for listening. Please do subscribe, leave a review, and let me know any youth-related questions you have, and I'll get them answered on next week's show. As always, guys, the future's bright. It's Lily White.